tonight. Let's get our Bibles in our hands. We're going to confess over this preaching moment, sharing moment. With your Bibles in your hands or whatever you connect to the Word of God with, repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. You know what we do. If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise. Amen. In 2025, I'm just going to randomly point to someone and see if they can say these four that we say every single Sunday. It'd be nice if you commit it to memory so you can rattle it off your head, because it's a part of our vision. All right, so we are in the fourth and final part of this series, Women in Ministry. Once again, it came up out of the idea that we have majority female ministers outside of me. We do have one other male minister, but he normally isn't here. He does he splits his time because of he lives somewhere else. So John Hampton sometimes ministers, but mainly here we have mainly women in ministry. And so we wanted to highlight that, and so we have done it thus far, going by age. We started off with Elect Lady, then Sister Rutha, then Sister Kelly, and now our own Lady Devon. So let's give Lady Devon another hand. So we always start off with five questions. You guys should be familiar with the questions by now, but we still are going to roll through them and see if we can get some, you know, more information from each different person. All right, so the first question that we've asked everyone, and we're going to ask Lady Devon as well, is growing up, what were your ideas about women in ministry, especially women preachers or pastors?
Growing up, the ministry was coming together. I think we were always together. I had very few friends outside of church because we were always together. And so I think that played a big role in my life in general as far as family and church family, because they became family. When we look at women in ministry, when I try to think back, I can't think of a woman specifically in ministry. I can think of a woman being by her husband's side who was in ministry, but not specifically a woman who was in ministry. The women then taught us how to be women, how to serve, how to be graceful, how to dress, things of that nature. They were more teachers than people being on ministry or being on the stage. I didn't see that.
Okay, so with everyone, I've added a few things. So when I decided to take over the ministry and my father talked to me about it, we originally looked at it as me stepping up as a pastor, but within a certain period of time, I realized that you were more like a co-pastor. So what is it like? Can you give them just a glimpse what it's like to be a co-pastor, not just a first lady, but a co-pastor? What is that like from your perspective?
I think they're two very different roles. I think some people are blessed to get a two-for-one when they get that, because I have to stand in both roles. Some people don't want to hear from the first lady, but they would rather hear from the co-pastor. I think those are two different, like I said, two different roles you can step in. As far as co-pastoring, I think it was meant to be that way. We started as youth pastors, so meant to be in the youth, experience that, move into first lady, and then I think the process was definitely necessary.
Yeah. I tell people privately, I may have said it openly here, I believe that this role was, Devon was destined for this role. I believe I could be any type of minister. I could have been an evangelist, I could have been on the road, But once I stepping into pastoring and leading, I realized that Devin was really nurtured for this role. So I believe it was her growth that actually pushed me and pushed us into this role where we are pastoring together. And I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else by my side. Amen. All right. So number two, so that we touched on it a little, but how did you know you were called into ministry? What did that process look like for you? Because it wasn't something like I said, hey, you need to do this. It's just something that gradually happened. But what was the process for you when you realized you were called to ministry?
I think it took going through some experiences, helping people, finding out it's more than just taking up a seat in a pew, that when you're called to serve, you're called to function. And so I think, like I said, the women teaching us how to serve played a big role because I already had that kind of under my belt. My parents were always givers, and so seeing them give kind of drew me to ministry, like, oh, this might be something that I would like or something that I would be in. Not to outweigh the negative thing, because it does take time, and it takes away from your family, and it takes away from your personal things. So being called to ministry, I don't think it was one specific instance. I think it was kind of like doing it and then realizing, oh, that's what this is. Like, oh, I am doing that. And I think it was made to be that way, because I think if God had have whispered in my ear and said, this is what it was going to be, I think I would have been hesitant. And I would have been, I probably can't do that or unworthy. But since it was already going on, and then I'm like, oh, that's what I'm doing. That's why I went through this, and this, and that's why this happened. So kind of like that. I don't think it was here, this is it. I think it was some experience.
And me being in ministry, talking to a lot of other people in ministry, it happens several ways. Some people do have that blaring call. Some people have, I felt like God spoke to them. Others was more gradual. But it's two words that you said that are important for people to know. A lot of times when people think ministry, they think the stage. But she said serving and giving. Really, that's the foundation of ministry. The word minister actually means to serve. So you start off by serving. So anybody who serves is in ministry. And so when you give and serve, you are a minister. You may not be a stage minister. In other words, you may not proclaim from the stage or the pulpit to the people. But when you make a difference in someone's life, you are ministering and carrying on the ministry. So
I would add that I guess I could say it wouldn't have been my first choice. I love to see something coming together without being on the stage. So if I made a cake and I gave it to you and I heard Donald say, hey, that cake that you gave me was great. No name attached. He just thought it was great. That's enough for me. So I think that is why it had to happen that way, because it wouldn't be my favorite thing to do. So if you had come here today and said, hey, God gave me something, we're not going to do women in ministry this morning, that would have been, I would put my notes up and I would have listened to you. So I think it's important to people who are thinking about ministry or wondering if they can do it. I think it's important to know that it wasn't my first choice.
I will add this. The people that I've known to be the greatest in even stage ministry are all people who would rather be behind the scenes. The people who want to rush to the stage, those people usually aren't that good. And sometimes they may grow to be good, but a lot of times they're not. And so some of the best people I know all wanted to just be behind the stage. You can say some of the biggest names. They really want to be behind the scenes. So really what you do behind the scenes is what exposes you for something greater later. All right, so number three. Who is your favorite Bible character and why?
I'm going to say Anna. And it's funny because I wanted to name Alana Anna, but I thought it wasn't, like TikTok says, it doesn't have razzle dazzle for our community. Can I say it like that? Okay. So I named her Alana Rose, or we named her Alana Rose. But I would say Anna. Anna means grace. Anna was very faithful. A big thing about Anna that impresses me is that she was so consistent. She was up in age. So she was like 80 when she had a career change. And that is just, that is something that can we can relate to, being older. I'm going to look at my notes so I don't keep going on. And it was something David said. He said, basically he said, I've lived and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I've not seen, basically he was telling her, I've not seen you beg for bread or beg for food, or you've done all this, you've been faithful, you've been consistent to God, and me watching your life, I haven't seen those things happen to you. And so if I had to pick anybody, it would be her, for her gracefulness, her consistency, and how at any age you can make a change to give your all for God. She was already in the temple praising and worshiping him, but she ended up becoming a prophet. So if I had to pick one out of that, it would be her.
Yeah, and that's in this season is a very good person, because she was the one who was waiting on the Messiah. There's not a whole lot written about her, but she's very powerful, and she was waiting on the Messiah and coming to find out when Jesus was born, that she had prophesied, believed for, and was one of the people that's lifted out as one who prayed in the Messiah, ushered in the Messiah. And to be 80 years old means that she waited a long time without getting what she prayed for, but she stayed consistent. And then we see that the Messiah did come, born in a manger. So that is powerful. So that's a very good one. And that's something I didn't know that was your favorite. So
I also want to add that in the Bible, it mentions her name, but it never mentions her husband's name. And I kind of like that.
Boo. Boo.
No, that, so we still don't know. And God rewarded her, so.
Yeah, that is powerful, because normally in those day and age, women were known by who they were married to. And so for Anna to be lifted out of the context shows that she was probably more spiritual than her husband. And she did usher in the Messiah. And many times in cases, women are more spiritual than their male counterparts. So that's good. Anything else you want to add to that?
I think it's good, as we were talking about pastoring, co-pastoring and ministry, it's good that you can probably tell that he is the scholar or the person who knows the story. I can lead you into it, but if you want to know where it's found, how old the person was, if it was before AD or after, whatever, it's good to seek him out.
But we balance each other out. But that's with any of you. You may think, oh, I can't say it because I don't know the stuff like pastor knows. Just take what you know, study it, get them halfway. I can close the deal. you start it off. Don't be afraid. When you go to a car dealership, the salesman meets you and asks you what you want. But then they got to go in the back and ask the manager some extra stuff. But they get you as far as they can before the deal is closed. So don't worry about how many scriptures you don't know. Do everything you can. And sometimes it's just as simple as inviting somebody to church. Right. Start where you can. I'll close the deal if you allow me to, but go all the way as far as you can. So I love the relationship that we have when we work together. Now, sometimes she'll be like, I'm passing this person off to you, and you can pray for them next. I'm like, no, you've done a good job. I don't want to be bothered. You close the deal. But it's good to work together. All right, number four. So we don't belabor this portion. Number four, what is one of your favorite verses and why?
This is hard because we know going to Heritage, we were able to memorize a bunch of verses. And so a lot of them are good, or a lot of them are memorized. And so I started thinking about the Hall of Faith, where, you know, it's in Hebrews 11 and 12, where they talk about, you know, by faith, Noah, he had to build an ark. And by faith, Abraham was called to go out. You know, we memorize all those. And I think all those have helped me in life think about, oh, Noah, you know, God gave him this instruction. He built the ark and ended up saving his family. You know, things like that, that all related to me or applied to my life. But I tried to think of something or think out the box, like not what is my favorite. So anyway, I came up to Proverbs 31:10. You know what that says?
That's the virtuous woman. I don't know what the 10th verse is. I don't know what the 10th verse is, though.
Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies, and her heart, the heart of her husband, safely trusts. is one version. But the version I repeat every morning is kind of different, so I'm going to repeat it. It says, a good, fine black woman with grace is hard to find. Her goals are extraordinary. Her presents are worth more than diamonds. Her husband can trust her without reservation. And she will never give him a reason to regret it. She does good by him all the time, all the days of her life.
I really like that version. And I like the good, fine black woman. I like that part. It's good, fine white women, good, fine Asian women. But since I have a good, fine black woman, I like that part. That's good.
So sometimes when I get a verse, we see it in all different versions, the Amplified, the Message Bible, but to try to relate it to your life so that you can repeat it over. And so it becomes not only a Bible verse, but it becomes a confession.
I think that's important. And one scriptural way to do it, the scripture says of Jesus that he found himself in the word. So some people are afraid to take the word and change it. You're not changing it, but if you can apply it to yourself to make it very personal, I think that is very good. When you take a scripture that you see, now the way it's written in the Bible is fine, but if you want to take it and make it personal to you, that is powerful because you can make it a part of your life. Is there any other scripture that you had beyond that?
No, I mean, I can do all things through Christ. We all love that, to know that his power is able to do all those things. I wouldn't narrow it down. I'll stick with that one.
Okay. And that one's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. All right. So that brings us to our fifth and final question. I'll read it and then I'll get out of the way. Deacons, would you come back and put the stage back together for her? But the final question is, what is God speaking to you about right now? So let me get out of the way so you can answer that by sharing with the people.
I hope you guys enjoy the little insight. I am pretty private, so sometimes when things like this happen or when people have to ask me questions, I like to do it one-on-one. But I understand the series, and I understand what Andre was saying and how important it is to know that women can be in ministry and women can tell you a few things. We've been through a few things, and we can tell you just a little bit. I won't be here long, but what the Lord has on my heart is, I'll start with the title, God is Still God. It's been 2024 has been a doozy, I guess is a good word for it. It's had its highs and it's had its lows, and we've been trucking it here along. But I can tell you that God is still God because we are here today. I can tell you that God is still God because my lights are on at my house. I can tell you that God is still God because my mortgage is paid. I can tell you God is still God because if I want to run up to McDonald's and get a drink, I have the money to do that. I can tell you God is still God because I'm in my right mind. I can tell you God is still God because at the point of loss, God made it a gain for me. I can tell you God is still God because I can speak. I could feed myself this morning. I could walk this morning. I could talk. I could go on and on. There was, you see me like this, but there was a moment 2 or 3 weeks ago when I couldn't get out of bed. There was a moment 2 or 3 weeks ago where I'm like, God, what are you doing? Like, that's how I talk to him. Like, I don't know how you communicate with him, but I'm like, God, what the heck is this? God, do we have to do this again? God, where did this come from? God, what in the world could you get out of this? God, I'm going to praise you right now, but this is hard. And I don't know if my heart truly means it. And I just need your help. God, I'm going to be transparent with you, God. This ain't it. This is not what I signed up for. God, I want to tell you that my life is yours and I'm leaning on you, but whoo, what are you doing, God? So today I just want to tell you, God is still God when you can't see him. God is still God when you can't feel him. God is still God when you doubt him and you can't understand him. God is still God in the middle of your circumstance, in the middle of your heartbreak. God is still God. What do I mean by that? I mean, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's my great-grandmother's God. He's my uncle's God. He's my husband's God. Why am I so encouraged? I'm encouraged in my voice, but my heart is broken. And so what do you do with that?
How do you answer that? How do you be an example? How do you be a co-pastor? How do you be a first lady? How do you be a wife, a girlfriend, a mother when your heart is broken? Well, sometimes we have to take a step back. And my step back was listening to the story of Anna and how all of her pain she took to God. She just opened herself up and said, God, I'm here. That's all I can do. That's all I've been taught is to run to you. And so she didn't allow life to defeat her, and she didn't allow the people around her to defeat her. She didn't allow the common circumstances. She didn't allow the obituaries to defeat her. She didn't allow the running out of gas to defeat her. She didn't allow those things to defeat her. Did it hurt her? Did it break her heart? Was she crushed? Did she want more out of life? Of course. But it's that fact. It's the simple fact when you don't throw in the towel. Have I been waving the white towel and the white flag? Of course. But it's the fact that I didn't throw it in. It's the fact that I'm here. Her breakthrough came when she saw Jesus, knowing that he showed up for her. But she had to be in the right place at the right time. So her placement was so important. I tell people all the time that what looks like chaos to you in my life, it probably is. It probably is. But to God, it's obedience. I look like I'm taking the roundabout route to get to 69. I'm going through Daleville and I'm doing all this when I can just jump on Kilgore. It looks like chaos to you, but believe me, I'm trying to obey God. I'm trying to listen to him. I'm trying to stay quiet. And then I'm trying to go where he wants me to go. And so when we look at people, we have to have a little bit of grace. Just a little bit of grace. Oh, she's going that way, and that's probably not the right way, but God has her on a mission. And in order to complete the mission, she might have to go that way. Should I ask questions? Should I investigate? Of course. But just know, sometimes when you see that chaos, it's that person following God. Why did she do that? What is she doing that for? Why did she let her kid go to this school? Why are they doing this? All those questions, some of that, you just need to extend the grace of God. Amen? Amen. So she served in the temple, as we're talking about Anna, who is my favorite. She served in the temple until she was 84. And after she met Jesus, he ended up making her a prophet. I'm reading the story fastly. Ended up making her a prophet. And they estimate that she was probably 100. And so she had a career change from 80 to 100. But somebody told you you're in your 40s and you can't change your career. They told you that's what you went to college for, so you got to stay in that. They told you that's the training that you got at the job, so you have to stay there. No. That's why I always say, these things that we're reading are not just stories and parables. They're things we can apply to 2024, 2025, 2026. Those are things that we can apply to our life, and we can see that in Anna's life. Some of you, I've went through a journey in my weight. We know as women, our weight goes up and down and around, and no matter what you eat. The other day, I made my kids and Andre try a protein chip. And I told them that as I ate it, before it got to my wisdom teeth, it had already disintegrated. So it didn't even taste like nothing. It tastes like sand. So the taste was bad. It's expensive. It only comes 4 in a pack. There's 5 of us. So once we eat that, that's gone. So it's hard to be healthy. Yeah, they want you to have a workout. Then I have to pay, well, they said $10 at Planet Fitness, but I'm paying $39 some kind of way. But anyway, the first they want you to have that. Then they want you to have a meal plan. Those things are hard. But I want to tell you, God is still God, and I'm going to try to attempt to give you a little meal prep, something to get you started. You know, when we meal prep, it's a lot. You got to plan out the meals. You have to go buy the meals. You have to cook and clean the meals. Then you have to set them aside. Then you have to make sure nobody eats those meals that you've prepared. Then you actually have to eat those meals for how many, 5 to 7 days in a row? That's hard. But let me tell you, meal prepping is the easy way. Meal prepping is one of the ways I am where I am today. And so let's meal prep just a little bit as we see how strong women are. And a lot of my lines are going to start with a strong woman. But if you're here and you're male, just go ahead and insert your name. But we're talking about women in ministry. Amen? Amen. So a strong woman knows her power source. If you don't know where the source of your power comes from, then we need to start way back at the beginning in Genesis 1 and 1. Where he created everything. You ever seen something and you can't unsee it? You might see glasses on my face. Then the next time you see me, you can't unsee it. Or you may be laying down looking at the clouds and you see a shape of a giraffe and you can't unsee it. That's how God should be in your life. the people look at you and they can't unsee Christ. They can't unsee mercy. They can't unsee grace. They can't unsee the favor of God on your life. They just can't unsee that. So a strong woman knows her power source. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. I guess I'm reading for myself today. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ that rests upon me. Amen. Paul said, my grace is sufficient. My grace of power empowers everything else. But before we can grasp onto the grace and the power, we must recognize our weaknesses. What is it that you're depending on that is eliminating Christ from working in your life? What is it that you're depending on? Are you depending on the job? Are you depending on the car? What are you depending on? What is your weakness? So once we recognize our weakness, then we can find our power and our strength in Christ. Psalm 73:26.
My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Amen. When I'm discouraged, when I'm overwhelmed, when I'm weak, I go to this scripture to know that God is a provider. He is, even when I'm discouraged, he provides. His power is found in surrendering, trusting, and relying. So you said, what is my meal plan? My meal plan is surrendering. My meal plan is trusting and then relying on God. Is it easy? No. But I have to take those things one step at a time. First, I surrender. God, it's me again. Here I am, wondering if I can trust you, wondering how I can rely on you, wondering, is everything going to be okay? God, here I am. That's the first step. And there's beauty in being anchored. There's beauty in resetting. You know, sometimes let's say your computer goes out, your laptop, you call the tech support, and the first thing they ask you is what? Have you unplugged it and wait 5 seconds? Well, of course, I wouldn't waste my time calling you if I hadn't tried all these things before. So sometimes there comes a time where we just have to restart. We just have to take the time to be alone by ourselves. A strong woman understands that this is too much. I have to unplug. I have to unplug from my children. I have to unplug from my job. I have to unplug from that habit that I have. I'm unplugging. Why? Because I'm trying to reset. Because I'm trying to get back on track. Is it my fault that I had to unplug? No. I don't even know why this happened to me. I don't even know why he did that to me. I don't even know why she did that to me. So it's not my fault. But I have the opportunity to choose. And today I choose God because God is still God, regardless of our circumstances. He is the power and the anchor. If I restart, how am I going to restart? By simply unplugging, by simply understanding that, hey, let me unplug. What did they say? Wait 20 seconds, 60 seconds, plug it back in. Now, a lot of times I will say it does the same thing and I'm going to need their help. But that's the same way with God. Once we unplug, then we have to go for more help. We have to say, God, I unplugged. I let go of what you told me to let go. I started over. God, I rededicated my life. Now, what do you want me to do? Now, what church should I go to? Now, who should I talk to? Where should I be so I'll be in the right place at the right time? That's where we go back to Anna. She was in the temple for 84 years. So she had already, her prep was already done. When he wanted her to be a prophet, she didn't have to go back and figure out, well, who is the Messiah? Where did he come from? What is he doing? What do they do in that temple? She had already been there. She was ready, set. All she had to do was see his face. Amen. A strong woman finds her safe place. Now, it's funny. The other day I was listening. I'm into podcasts now, which I was against it before because I feel like being in the car, you should pay attention. But I'm listening to my podcasts in the car that are free. I'm listening to those, and we turned on true crime. And I was driving, and I told the kids, we got to turn this off because Andre ain't here, and I'm a little nervous because he is my safe place. He is, when he's home, I sleep very, very well. So what am I saying? I'm saying in your planning, you have to find where is my safe place. Where do I feel like, hey, when I'm in this groove or when I'm in this place, mine is reading and doing devotions and doing them with partners that for the accountability. That's my safe place. That's how I'm going to be able to be, to withstand. Now, in that safe place, are there trials and tribulations? Yes. But I'm trying to find a safe place. I don't want to find a safe place with the person who only has two walls. I want to find a safe place with the person who has four walls and maybe some sleeping bags and maybe something else for me to hide in. When I think of my safe place or finding my safe place, I think of when I'm going through something, if it's storming outside, then I don't want them to send Alana to get me from the car because she's not strong enough to hold me up. I want them to send a strong man who can hold me up because I'm slipping and I'm sliding and I need somebody to hold me up. I need to have a safe place. That is Psalms 46:1.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.
I'm relying on God. He is becoming my habit. You know, a habit is, we often think of a habit as smoking, drinking, doing drugs. A habit is eating sweets for me. A habit is drinking pop. A habit is whatever is keeping you from your goal. So I got tickled the other day. I was shaking a little bit. And when I went to the doctor, I was asking her, you know, why in the world? I basically told her, I'm too young for this. Now, we're going to have to figure out what this shaking is from. And she said, well, it's from caffeine. I said, I'm going through my meal plan. And I'm saying, there's no caffeine in my meal plan. I drink one cup of coffee maybe every other day. But she said something that really, really stuck out to me. And I began to tell my kids. And she was saying, that habit, no matter how small, is a habit. And so when your body doesn't get that, it has a reaction. And my reaction was I was shaking. I was saying something to Alana. She said, what you shaking for? I said, no, wait, you know, have a little grace. There's something going on. Calm down. Fix your face and watch how you talk to me. You know, we're going there. And so, but it was, you know, sometimes we know things, but it's better when someone who has that expertise and that research tells us. And she said, if you're the same person as, in the same state as a person who has 6 cups of coffee. She wasn't telling me to drink those 6 cups, but she was telling me just like they're having withdrawals from those 6 cups, you're having withdrawals from this 1 cup. And that's how it becomes, you know, you're a little off when you haven't walked the line that God's telling you to walk. And you know, you're a little off when tragedies come and they're swaying you to and fro and you have to depend on God. And you may have a little shaking, but I'm here to tell you that God is still God. And the only way that we can know that, you know, some say, you know, how are you believing this? How do you know you're saved? How do you know there's a God that you can't see? How do you know all those things? The only way I can know is by living my life and the testimony that's been lived by others before me. The way people react to when you say God, the way sometimes I'm walking through the house and it just comes up in me. Thank you, Jesus. God, I need you. God, I want you. Some of those things, because I found my safe place and I found my refuge and my shelter in him. Like I said, it's not to say that things won't come, and it's not to say that I've had some really, really, really bad days, but I can pop back out, as they say, and I can say, God, here I am. God, I'm gonna need you today. You, if I'm gonna get up and if I'm gonna survive, I'm gonna have to help you. I mean, you're gonna have to help me. That's a safe place. A strong woman isn't invincible. Now, this is the point I like. I wanted to put it at the beginning, but God didn't see fit for it to go there. But they tell us, or as we grow up, or as we are women, we are made or taught or told to be invincible, to wear a Superman cape everywhere we go, to be the advocator for our children, to stand beside our mate or our husband or whoever we are with. But God didn't see it as that. He doesn't want us to be invincible. He wants to see our flaws. He wants to see us fall down. Why? Because he wants to be able to reach out and come to us with open arms. So I want to tell you this morning, you don't, man or woman, have to be invincible. You don't have to act like everything is A-okay all the time. You don't have to act like you got it together. I think of a lot, I'm using Alana as a reference because we spend so much time together. And yesterday she said, you just think different. And I was asking her what she meant by that. And I take things in chunks. Telling y'all little personal things, but I take things in chunks, and after I get this done, I can do that. And those who know me and are around me know that's how I have to do it. She was asking me about something next Wednesday. I said, Alana, I got to get through Saturday first. I can tell you. She said, well, then it'll be done and it'll be out the way. I said, that's not how my mind works. And you have to be okay with that, that this is how it works. Not that we should procrastinate. I'm not saying that, so don't get me wrong and hear what I'm saying. But I'm saying there, I take those in chunks. So today, I'm doing this. Today, I got to do this. This hour of the day, I got to do this. Why? Because that's how my mind works. So she said, in her saying, you think differently, God will think with you at the point you need to think it. That's how we I incorporate myself with God. We think in chunks. And that, like I said, it may be chaotic to some, but that's how I'm able to stand here today and say, God is still God. All the things that we've been through, knowing that I don't have to be invincible. I don't have to think like she thinks. I don't have to walk like she walks. I don't have to be jealous of what she has because I don't know what it took for her to get there. The song says, you don't know my story. So walk the walk you're walking. Somebody said, you know, you're going back to school. Y'all got the church. Y'all got this. My chaos is just straight obedience to God. Why am I doing that? Because God has a goal for me. God has a path for me. God has a way that he is taking me. Now, did it take roundabout to get there? Yes. But I got to do me. And I got to do what God wants me to do. And I can't be invincible. I can't understand. A good example is she was laughing because I didn't know what I was wearing today. And I really didn't care. I took this thing out of a Sheen bag and hoped that it fit. I mean, that's how I have to take things in chunk. Yesterday, I was going to do this, this, and this. I didn't have time to wear it. I know something in that closet was going to work. I have the faith to know that, if it was jeans and a shirt, if it was a Deliverance Temple shirt, I'm not that worried about those things because that's just me. And so you have to understand that you don't have to be invincible. There's certain things I was worried about something else, so let me worry about that for a minute and let God work on me with the rest. Amen? We must rely on God's strength in our times of weakness. A strong woman trusts his peace over her peace. Amen. Same thing with a man. A strong man trusts his peace, the peace in God. It's Psalms 91 and 4.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
So as we're preparing this and preparing this for the meal of God and for this, a strong woman knows her power. She knows her power is surrounded in strength and trust. She finds her safe place in God. She isn't invincible, and she knows and trusts his peace. And as we talk about this scripture, the feathers we know of that of a bird and how a bird protects their young. And knowing that God will cover you, but not only give you shelter, but give you love. Sometimes you just need the love of someone. You just need the love of God. You just need to feel that peace that only he can give you. There's a peace that can come with everything being together, but there's a peace that can overwhelm you. There's a peace that can settle you. There's a peace that when I call this person, I know they're accountable for me, and I know I can call them and it'll just calm me down. Why? Because you both have been accountable to God, and you both have been in that situation with God. It says that God's love is a shelter and a protector. But not only that, a shield and a buckler for you. God's truth is in his faithfulness. And I say that all the time. God is so faithful. Take a minute, look back on your life, and think how God is so faithful. God, I'm in the middle of this. I lost my job. My car's broke down. All those things that I thought was going to keep me. But I know I can get a ride with somebody. And I can get another job. And I can... Why? Because of his faithfulness. And so you, looking back and I'm thinking how faithful God is to me, a lot of people want to tell my story, and they tell my story as being infertile and getting married and having the house and just wanting kids and knowing that that was in my cards and wondering, hey, it's taken 8 years to get this. God, I know you're faithful. God, I see other people having kids. God, I've done everything that I know to do. God, I've obeyed you. God, why is it? But that's not all to my story. My kids are here and I love them and they're older now, but I've been through some other things. I've had some other challenges in my life. And I think that is a major thing why God has me here, because if I was in the pews, I probably wouldn't tell my story. And so it was a couple years ago when God was telling me it's one thing to be private, but it's another thing to be a child of God. And so we cannot let being private exclude us from giving our testimony. And so if we think about it, I have a testimony that I was in my 20s when my husband and I owned our own house. I have a testimony that I was able to pay my car off in 2 years. I have a testimony that I've been running a business for 16 years. I have a testimony that I have 3 other businesses that you probably don't know of. I have a testimony that I was able to save a certain amount of money. I have a testimony that I'm here after being... My mother was diagnosed with breast cancer a long time ago, and she's a survivor. There are things you don't know about me, so when you see me, don't think that this is it. Don't think that this is all I got it together. Know that, hey, let me ask her. She likes to talk in private. Let me ask her one-on-one about something she's been through because maybe she'll be able to help me. There's a lot of things that we've been through that, you know, people try to tell our story for us, but what do we say? You can't tell it like I can tell it. So let me tell my story. Amen. He will cover us, and he promises to be dependable and to be faithful. You know, we have a lot of faith in things. I think about all the time, the greatest example I give my children of faith is just sitting in a chair. I'm not the smallest person, so when I sit in a chair, I, as a woman, you young women, pay attention. I, as a woman, I will walk by a chair and shake it first to make sure all the screws are where they're supposed to be before I sit down and then fall flat. So that's one way I have faith that that chair is going to hold me. I have faith that when I go out and I put my key in my car or I push that button that it's going to start. We have faith in a lot of things. I have faith when I wear clip-ins that they're going to stay clipped where they're supposed to be clipped. I have faith that when I wear lashes, that glue is going to stay where it's supposed to be and how it's supposed to stay. So we have faith in other things, but we need to rally all that faith up and have faith in God. Because despite what we've been through, I promise you God is still God. I can't promise you a lot of things, but I can promise you that God is still God. And we're trusting and relying on him. God will cover you, and it's his peace. A strong woman exercises her faith. Deborah's faith inspired many around her to be courageous. Deborah's faith inspired her and empowered her to be faithful. And we know in Judges, after Deborah took them to war and she was empowered, and the man that was with her said, I'm not going to war unless you go with me. And so she was able to do all that. But then in Judges 5, she could not stop praising God. There was a point where she said, I know I've been through all this, and this has taken me down, and we fought the war, and we've won, but I can't, there's something in me that just won't stop praising him. God remains in his love and his mercy. God is sovereign, and he's in control. He's so close to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. When I'm down and I feel, I'm like, God, I'm here. I'm crushed in spirit. God, it's me, oh Lord, and I need you. I understand that it might be hard to understand and it might be hard to comprehend, but we're all going through this together. And that God did not intend for you to go at it alone. God intended for you to have crewmates. God intended for you to have a home church. God intended for you to be here at this moment in time. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. God is God when I can't see him. God is God when I can't feel him. And he remains in his love and his mercy at the face of God. I know in the beginning I talked a lot about Anna and my testimony. And Anna saw the face of God. And that should be our goal. That should be our, what do we want to do? We want to be so faithful. We want to serve him. We want to love him so that one day we can see his face. That is the ultimate goal. You said, what is all that for? Why are you saying be strong? Because there's going to be some things, if it hasn't already, to come against you to be a low blow. You know, the devil deals in low blows. He hits what they say under the belt. He does things that are not legal. He does things that he's not supposed to do. But we serve a God who is real and who is faithful. And at the end of the day, we have to rely on him. You can't do it without him. Simply said, you can't be a strong woman or a strong man without God. And I was joking in that verse that I quoted, who can find a virtuous woman? But it's the truth. It's hard to find. There's not many people who are willing to have grace and to have mercy. There's not many people who are willing to say, hey, I'll stand with you in prayer. Hey, what do you need to pray? Let's pray right now so I won't forget later. Let's bring this to God right now. Let me help you. And in turn, we can help each other. Amen? Amen. If we can stand, we can pray.
I'm going to let her pray, but I have two quick things that I want to share. Her sermon reminded me of something. It reminded me of a scripture. I'll read it to you. It's Psalms 27 from the New English Translation. It says, some trust in chariots, others in horses, but we depend on the Lord our God. Somebody say to me, say, God is still God. So the other thing, Sister Jeanette last week shared a dream with me that she had that has stayed with me. She saw a big angel, several feet tall, with long outstretched wings, had a sword by its side, and she said it was a warrior angel, and it took its feathers and wings and just closed him. And she didn't know what it meant. And as I prayed about it, I believe that God is sending us a warrior angel that's just going to cover us and protect us from all the things that we've been through and from what the devil wants to do to us. Because, say it one more time, God is still God. And we thank God that that warrior angel is standing beside us and protecting us. Lady Devin, would you pray us out?
God, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you that you are still God, and you're not just a God who is on the throne, but you're a God who personally sees about your people. And we thank you for these people who have come today. Father, as I always say, they could have picked any other place to go to, but you saw that they come here. So I hope what you gave me bless them. And bless us as we leave here, as we travel, and as we go about our day. Bless our families, Father, and bless this church as we desire to expand. God, we ask you to send the people and send the finances, Father, that we will need to do that. In your name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful, and marvelous week.